בקבלה גוף נקרא לחינות.
In Kabbalah, the body is the jizat. We are mortifying the body, and afterwards we're reviving them. It's called revival of the dead. That everybody's talking with such resonance, a revival of the dead. And everybody, the fulfillment of this desire to bestow, that the God exists in the first state, eternal state. We have already started with you the three states. First state, that we're in infinity, like we're there to begin with, then the second state, our state, in which we exist in a temporary state of corruption and correction, and the third state in which we return to the first state but with our own forces, that when we're there it's called the final correction, and that is our state presently, the present state. And the third state that will come, thus that soul that is clothed within us stays. The body will die. There is dyes that will, the way we receive them, they're dead. When we stop to use them, they call they're dead. Whereas the soul, the form of the desires that we're using them for the sake of the soul, they come and go. They're eternal. But it, in all its attainments and that it receives, stays forever. That means that we come to the world of infinity, as it was in the world of infinity here. But here, we used to exist there, a simple existence, like a beginning of the fetus in the womb of his mother. And when we go proceed ourselves, first we make the tzimtzum aleph, afterwards the screen, afterwards the reception for the sake of bestowal. And thus we come to the state of infinity that we have built it from inverted state, the opposite state. And thus we seemingly we're doing it, we're creating it in it and existing in it in it, all its volume. And all these actions and all these events do not influence the soul at the moment of the death of the body. And the more we're mortifying desires, the more, and instead of them to come to the state of bestow, means that the bodies are dead and the soul grows again. The goof means the 613 desires that are in our body, and the soul means that all the desires, all 613 desires, but we invert them for the sake of bestowal. But the desires are the same, but the names that we're using for the sake of bestowal, that's the difference. When we're using them for the sake of reception, for the bestowal, that means that we're mortifying the body and we're obtaining the soul. We're using the desires for the sake of bestow. And it's clarified more that the soul is absolutely do not depend on the intellectual attainments that receives, as philosophy says, but existence is essential only, meaning the desire to bestow that it attained on top of these desires, on the intentions for the of bestow, and that the initial attainments that it received doesn't have any property and value in its soul. And so one person receives all kind of education and knowledge of how to use the desires, it is already not pertaining to the soul but only to the physical body. It's difficult, right? Do you have any questions? I told you it's a difficult introduction. Well, we'll continue and we'll see maybe he will explain it deeper. If not, we will explain it again. We need, in essence, maybe let's disconnect a little bit from our reality, as if we are in a space, there's nothing. There is a desire that the Creator made. That's what we're studying in the Wisdom of Kabbalah. That the light existed in the beginning of reality, created the desire. The desire of the creature has an intention to fill itself, like kids, that we can see that they want to take everything for themselves. This desire is not good, not a good nor bad. It's like a kid that comes to you and takes something from the chair. You're not irritated with him compared to the adult, because that's his natural form. These are the natural desires. The natural desires that the Creator, that the light has made, all of them together are called the body. All of them together are called the body. These desires, through the study of Kabbalah, all of us begin to see as the means. Doesn't matter that I exist in the body. I don't relate to the body, I relate only to the desires toward the Creator. I begin to relate to this desires. I first need to stop fulfilling them. Not the desires of body, food, family, and education. Not our bodily desires, but the desires which are in the soul. The desires which are in the soul are only towards the Creator. And we don't feel it. And at this point in the heart, soon it will develop in us. So these desires, first and foremost, we need to do a restriction on them, not to use it in order to receive it, the light in it. They grow in the heart of in the heart. We make on them restriction, and then we begin to feel the Creator as the host that stands for in front of us. He says, "No, take it. Take more and more and more." And we're all the time rejecting and rejecting and rejecting the pleasures. When we push and reject the soul, the light, we're like a guest in front of the host that doesn't want to receive the pleasures, the meal. Why? Because we want to connect to the master, to the host, and not receive the meal. In order to be with him on this, together, we need to be with him on the same level, the same status. He doesn't receive anything, then we don't receive anything. We having completed that degree, the host continues to pressure, and we're certain that we're ready not to use the desires. I'm ready not to receive inside them. That means that I'm equal to the host. He's asking of me to receive the meal, and I'm not receiving. And in such a state, the Creator is revealed. The moment that we are ready not to receive anything, he opens up before us. So you see the barrier, the revelation of the Creator. In such a state, we go out above the barrier, cross over. Thus, we have the opportunity to become like the Creator. I begin to live in me, to revive in me the desires, the 613 desires gradually. From the salad to the potatoes and then meat, meaning from the light desires. to the desires which are greater and greater. It means the revival of the dead, meaning that they have died inside me. I have caused them to be dead inside me. Now I reactivate them. I am telling them I'm becoming like the host. I'm receiving the food honorably from him. Why? Because I'm doing him a favor. Such is the work that we have above the barrier. That the form of the pleasures that we attain, since they're all physical bestowal, it is eternal. That's why instead of the body, the desires that used to be for the sake of bestowal, we construct an eternal body. Why is it eternal? Because it's exactly like the Creator bestowal. Thus, the soul, the eternal essence, and the Creator are together in adhesion, like a guest and a host, that they have come together to do good to one another. Yes. Huh? Not to receive from him doesn't mean to be distant from him. That means to become, to distance myself from the using my desire. I've come to your house. You give me a cup of coffee, maybe a cake. Okay, a lunch. Great. And if I'm not receiving, that means that I'm getting farther away from you. I'm distancing myself from you. No, but if I do receive, but it's your calculation and my calculation. My calculation is that I've come to you and I've received. If there are close relationships between us, then there is no problem. I have friends. We are playing in a garden. Where are you going? I'm going back home. He opens the fridge. He takes some food out of it and eats. The same Chaim grew up. He has a wife and a small kid, let's say. Suddenly I can see him in our garden. I've come to my parents to eat. He is coming to his parents, meaning he has his own family, his own possession, the status, and he's actually with his parents. You know, it's not like he's in his family, but he's already paying a visit to his parents. So he needs to think how much he takes, in which way he's more distant from his parents. He's separated from his parents. So there is a consideration, right? So that's where we're talking about. I'm coming to your place. You want me to take everything from you. But I, first of all, myself, need to determine my relationship with you. Well, in our world, shame stops me, and so forth. But here we're talking about the measures of correct connection between the creature and the Creator, that I want to be like him. If just receiving from him, that I'm not receiving the pleasures that are felt in me in the body only. There's the food, family, honors, and knowledge. Since these pleasures are inside the desire to receive, we've learned that everything that enters the desire to receive, we cancel the desire and we stop to feel the pleasure. Now I want to drink. Now I've completed the cup. I've drunk a few gulps and I'm satisfied already. So I have a contact with the light. And there I felt the pleasure. After that, it disappeared. Such a form which exists in all, such form exists in all of our pleasures on the corporeal degree. The Creator wanted us to live, meaning to feel eternal pleasures. That's why we receive the lights inside us, only conditioned that we can reject them. Because if I'm receiving for the sake of bestowal and return to Him, thus we have an eternal existence between us. I'm like Him. So the one who has attained His soul, he feels himself existing eternally. For him to get rid of the corporeal body is not felt that he's separated from, because he's all the time already in connection with the upper force in his soul. And thus, this body is not interfering. It's the same way that I cut my hair, there's me and the hair that fell from me. I'm living and animate, and this is growing, vegetative, 2 degrees in the reality. Here we're receiving the soul, which is the spiritual degree, and relative to the animate body, and relative to the soul, it doesn't felt as exists. We are associating ourselves to a level of existence which is more elevated. Any more questions? We're giving opportunity to speak to the man. Certainly. They reject the pleasures. We're not talking about the pleasures of this world, so be clear. To live and lead a nice life, enjoy your life. It doesn't matter what you're going to do with your body and with your life. To reject the pleasures is as follows. The soul, it exists with us inside our desires only as a point. The part of divine from above, meaning here we have desires. We have mentioned that these are the spiritual bodily desires and the human desires. This is the heart itself. The point in the heart is the desire for the Creator, the attitude towards Him. That is why it is called the part of divine from above. The one who feels that point that awakens in him, it awakens after many, many life cycles when the person is already despaired and to somehow attain essence of life. What am I living for? Why am I living? And thus this question, what is the meaning in my life? This is the question that he begins to feel in the side, the point in the heart. And from that, from that point on, he begins to feel, ask about the connection with the Creator. He doesn't know, unconsciously, because that point directed towards the meaning, the taste of life that you have to come to it, in contact with it, the spiritual existence, the deep spiritual degree, eternal degree. Usually when we can observe this despair, this all the depression is actually absence of sense of spiritual, sense of eternal. Because if a person feels that he's not eternal, he doesn't have the fuel to continue to live. What for? If he sees already, he predicts already that it's gonna be over, then so what? What's going to happen next? So by way of the light that reforms, that then by means of studies, we're saying by way of studying the wisdom of Kabbalah, comes the light that reforms, the surrounding light, we can say, and thus this point begins to grow. It grows already, grows and grows to a measure complete measure, the desire, the great desire, this great desire is all directed towards the Creator. He wants to be pleased with what he receives from the Creator. This is what happens to the student of Kabbalah, that with him the desires begin to be directed towards the spiritual. He lives within the animal and human desires. Of course, he uses them for his existence, but in essence, he begins to be directed towards the spiritual desire. That spiritual desire, as we were saying, it is divided into degrees, the shores, the root, 1, 2, 3, and 4, and its power and his capacity, and according to his quantity, is divided into 613 inner desires. The first action that I'm making with these desires is the action of restriction. That the light that comes from the Creator, I'm able to reject it. I'm able to be above all of the pleasures that I reveal in connection with Him, like here in the connection to the host, to the landlord. I'm not talking about the connection to the food, to the sex, to the kids, the family, my work, something else. No, only towards the Creator. As he was always saying, the pleasure to the Creator of them, in the one who created this desire. So the direct light comes to me in an intentional, precise way, and I'm making restriction. I'm saying no, I don't want. Why? Because I have to work here. It's not for us, not for today. It's not really timely, but I thus search not for the pleasure, but I search for the connection with the giver of the pleasure. And thus, on every desire I'm making restriction. The restriction that I'm making in the desire is already called a commandment. Meaning that I work with my desires, the 613 desires, in order to connect to the giver of the pleasure, to the giver of the desires. That is why it is said, the reward for the commandment is to know the one who commands, that I restrict this 613 desires from using them for my own sake. The pleasures are revealed more and more, and I begin to receive the strength, the force to use these desires in order to return the pleasure. So I'm taking some small desire and fill it with light, and I return the pleasure. I take the light inside the greater desire. I'm pleased with it in order, with intention to return the pleasure to the greater, and so I act. Until the very large, the largest pleasure, I can use it in order to return it. If it turns out that if I'm doing so in all the body of the soul, the goof of the soul, clear it, we're not talking about the corporeal body, you can exchange it, make transplantations, it doesn't matter to it at all. So every goof, all the entire body of the soul, I become like the Creator. He gives to me and I'm giving to Him. So in every part of me, which is called the soul, I have turned like the Creator, and that means that I've come to adhesion. That's it. So what have I done here? The first action, restriction, and the second restriction is to receive for the sake of bestowal. We have two such actions along the way, okay? Yes. I've come to this world like a guest in the hotel. I've come here. I have 613 desires, corporeal desires. No. We don't have 613 corporeal desires. 613 desires to for this world? You're saying that for the sake of reception it's called corporeal. No. The one who exists in this world, just an ordinary person, he does have 613 desires. What kind of 613 desires? And we cannot divide our desires for this world into 613 desires. Only the desires towards the Creator. They're also greater, of course. The desires for this world, we have all in all bodily pleasures, which is what our body demands. You can count 20 desires. All in all, this is what the beast desires. Once, that also the beasts, animals, exist in the same desires. They want to drink, they want to eat, they want to sleep. They have we have a pack, like we have a family, and be with the kids and be in a certain home or a cave or whatever. Each and everyone has his own. So in this we're completely beasts. I mean, that's called the bodily pleasures, and there are human pleasures, which we want to make use of the other man, the fellow man. We want to make use of him in order to feel above, let's say, money. In the money, I want to be stronger than the rest. The honors that others will honor me, that they will feel that I'm greater than them. The desires of power, in which is clear, and desire to know. No, as the highest egoistic pleasure, desire, that I want to gobble up the reality. I want both to control and to twist it and so forth. Great desires. These are desires of the science that relate to the science. Let's say the desires of the people who relate to deal with culture. They are arts. This is the pleasures of honors. This is how they express themselves. Let's say the powers, those who gravitate towards the government. That's clear. And this is not 613. That's completely not considered. These 613 desires, I have corporeal kilim, like this body. I have sensations. And I have an intellect. It's like a beast that has a body and an intellect. Animal has a mind, of course. Man has greater, or we're talking about something abstract. Right. You're talking like a philosopher. A philosopher that thinks that his brain is his soul. It's not a soul, it's a possession. We're saying that here, and that all the physical desires are not counted, that you can do anything in this world. I can come to the store and I can steal from everybody and then return and be a good, nice kid. Then we can, or we can do the so, or we can make an intention of lishma on those desires, and then I'm correcting myself. Oh, great, you probably studied Hasidism. The question is as follows. If we're saying that without desires that we have currently, not towards the Creator, but towards this world, we're not coming to the spiritual. And we're saying, do whatever you want in it. What does it mean that you can do whatever you want, or whether I can come above the barrier to the desires for the Creator, and still to be a stealer, a liar, and so forth, criminal and so forth. No, I can. Of course, this desire to receive a copy, a shape of the desires that for the Creator, that's certain. Meaning the great desires suppress the small desires. Then I begin to relate only to the Creator, to the host, and I want to establish my relationships with Him, then all my attitude to this world accordingly begins to be organized, be put in order. Okay? Well, it's okay. You cannot do anything because you have in the mind something different, do you understand? You go and drink a beer, right? You go drink a beer, but your intentions in your mind is already different. Okay. You don't want to hear. Unfortunately, I can't explain. The time will come and you'll understand. I'm sorry, but... I'm telling you that we have what is called the body. Our body, the corporeal body, the beastly body. And in that body, we have desires. Desires that they relate to existing of our meat, the flesh, the fleshly desires, right? And desires, what we're calling human desires that are in each and every one. These are the desires that exist in us. They're bodily, these fleshly desires that I can even live in the jungle like a beast, and they're in each and every one. I want to drink beer. I'm going and drink beer. The cow goes to drink water. So what? Okay? It receives her water and she's pleased, and you're receiving your beer and you're pleased. So what's there? I don't understand. Whether there are 613 desires, the spiritual internal desires that you want to work with them. All in all, I'm explaining, but here, if you reject immediately, you won't understand anything. If you're a scientist, you have to put all your mind on the side and attempt to understand something new. Maybe it is against or not with what you know, but you have to be at least objective. You have to hear what I'm responding to you. You have desires, all in all of them like you are right now. On top of that, if there is a question, that the point that pertains to the Creator, it might be that this point is awake, and then you're asking about your eternal existence. What is the meaning of my life? Possibly not. Possibly that the point that you're feeling is completely not at the Creator, but there are desires for money, honors, power, and knowledge. So maybe you're talking about knowledge, like a scientist. I want to know how many stars in the skies, how all this circulating, how all the atoms inside the body and outside. You're also asking about this world. You're not talking about divine. You're not talking about something that is disconnected from the desires which are in the body. I'm talking about the soul, that the beginning of the soul exists in each and every one, and in the person in whom it begins to awaken, he doesn't care about science, he doesn't care about knowledge, power, and honors. There's something in it that if he does not resolve it, he cannot live on. It's the question of why I'm living at all. The question of existence. It might be that this question is not revealed completely to the person, but it is concealed within after all kind of other questions. But still, within, it's all the time eating him. We're talking about such people. All the rest do not pertain to Kabbalah. They don't pertain. We're talking about this initial desire. That same desire is like the drop of the seed within it. Inside the drop of seed, semen is everything within. Do you agree? he doesn't hear. Yet, is it correct? All of the information about the future man exists within. We have to just add the matter. Even if you're going to be the criminal, within, there's the gene that controls it. So people say. So they say, right? So we have here the 613 desires, but all of them together are not felt relative to the person. That is why it's called as a drop, one point. We are talking about the development of this point alone. It doesn't matter what all the rest of the desires that are in man. Why? Because they will die. So the person asks, why am I living for? I'm not asking about what's going to happen with my money, my owners, and so whether a person will be successful to the greater and small extent as well. So I'm asking about that. He's talking about the development of the thought. So we're talking about only that. So you can ask, what with the rest of the desires? I can steal, I can come, go to every place and use my ego as I please. Yes, you can. And I'm telling you, there's no coercion in the spiritual. If you're beginning to develop your point in the heart, there's no coercion in the spiritual. You're free to do whatever you want. The moment that you begin to develop that point, you begin to change in your desires, which is higher than all these desires. You begin to connect to the eternal upper force. You begin to reveal it, and accordingly, all of these desires are suppressed, and accordingly, of course, you're not using them in an egoistic way, because you're upgrading in the highest degree to be bestowing. But, and it's very important, in the education of ethics of Kabbalah, we never are telling a person, stop yourself, don't use this, don't participate there, you have to be the righteous, you have to stop yourself, sit on diet, be on diet, live in a cellar. No, quite the opposite. Do whatever you please, but you yourself, your path, will educate you. In every instance. What is with morals? What ethics? Well, Musar, ethics. There's no ethics in Kabbalah. There's nothing more opposite to Kabbalah than the ethics, morals. That's what you're saying, that the morals is the foundation of a man. The morals is the foundation for a beast. The one who is inside these desires. Just a second. Sir, when I'm talking, you're silent and you're listening what I'm saying. If you want to hear what I'm saying, we have to listen out. If not, that I don't have anything to say. If you want to organize people to live in a beastly, ordinary, normal way on the face of the earth in a normal fashion, one towards the other, so that they won't eat one another, that you need the ethics. Of course, give them the moral, talk to them, morals from morning till evening. Let's see how they send it to this. Useful, but not. We're talking about a different way. Listen, here, morals, ethics don't work. But you have to build a man, human being, not by you are scaring him. God, look what's going to happen to you in this world and in the next world, the hell. It's forbidden for you. It's good with the beasts. It's good with the beasts. I don't want to see that. It's good for the beasts alone. No. I have my own style of work. Don't bring to me your system. It won't help. Won't help. The method of moral ethics is a very profound system that served us over all the years of exile. And men of ethics were great people that were great Kabbalists. The Gaon Mivilna produced a whole series on morals, that Mishkar. I'm not disrespectful, disdainful of the morals. They were designed for the time of exile, when the point of the heart wasn't awakened. Then you just have people that you have to organize them in earthly life, like corrected Jews. That's why the Kabbalists developed those who are in attainment of spiritual, of the upper world. They developed for us the of Musar. And it exists and is appropriate for those who doesn't have the point in the heart, so that they will feel good in this world, live correctly. The method of morals is built on the fear. You shouldn't do this and that. There are all kind of proofs there, of course. And but after millennia of exile, we come to the end of the exile, when a person the point of the heart awakens, and the person asks about the meaning of life, and the method of morals does not work all right anymore. From the time of Ari and on, such people begin, meaning the point of the heart begin to awaken in people, and that's the same great Kabbalists that develop for us the system of morals. They continue to develop it for the centuries after the Ari, 400 years after Ari until our time. They continue to together with that, they begin to develop the wisdom of Kabbalah, because the desire that now awakens is the point in the heart. It is connected to the Creator, demands development, and we have to give it also like a morals for the point in the heart, and that is called the wisdom of Kabbalah. Let's say, I lie truth and I lie and I hate lies. Is this the morals or not? The fact that you're saying to me that you lie truth and I'll say hate lies, then I'm telling you. There's no such thing as to love truth and hate the hate truth, the lies. There's no such thing like that. But why are you doing that? Why are you on such a degree? Or because of the fear, or because of the revelation of the Creator. It depends what you're working with. If you're working with the corporeal degrees, meaning of a human being, you're doing it because of the fear. If I'm not observe this, I will feel bad, and if I do observe it, I will feel good in this world and the next world. No, we stop that, okay? I'm not giving an individual lesson. On top of that, to read the articles of Bais Salama, I can see that you can be able of studying. Read the articles of Bais Salama, read the essence of the religion, the Kabbalah and philosophy, all the articles that are in our books and on the website, and look what he says about morals and ethics and Kabbalah. We need to understand, talking about different creatures. There are two people sitting here in the one. What is active in him are only this fleshly desires, and another, the point of heart is awakened, and they're living in two worlds. We're not talking about about the worlds. To the one, I have to relate in the form of the system of morals, like in synagogues they're doing, and to the second one, I have to talk in terms of attainment of spiritual. The opinion of Torah is opposite to the opinion of the household, of the house owners. If it's enough, that's it. The Creator and bestowal. If He bestows, how can I return light back to Him? The point in the heart that is within us, let's say, and it is awakened. It is awakened and grows from the our level, let's say, from zero to the infinity. And here the desire pleasures are awakened every time greater and greater. Everyone who is greater than his friend, his desires are greater than him. These are desires of klipa, shell, the desires for the sake of reception, for my own sake. That's called the left line, and from the on the second side, on the opposite, from above, I'm receiving through the worlds. These are degrees of the worlds. Through them, through the degrees, I receive the lighted reforms. He assists me. So I'm given a spoiled desire, corrupted desire, and on the other hand, the light that can correct me. And I stand in the beginning, make the action. I'm correcting the desire with the help of the light. Because here I'm building this kli of the soul from the point alone that we have just the beginning initial desire. Such a person, so the person grows, he receives greater desires, and from here the lights that reforms, and thus he builds his desire towards the Creator. All of the desires are towards the Creator, opposite thing, towards the host, the landlord. Certainly, our world is here. Here is the degree that in which we exist like beasts. We're all like beasts, as is written. This is the degree in which we have to exist before the awakening of the point in the heart, so that it would have where to grow from. I'm living, nevertheless, I'm in the body, and from the corporeal world, I relate to the point of height. In such a form, I have the freedom of choice. Similarly, I relate to it in a free manner, with free choice. That's why the reality is built that way. Yes, the middle line is the structure of the soul. What is the prayer? Yes. Maybe we should continue. 25. From here we come up with the full solution of the fifth inquiry. Since the body is so corrupted, not our body that it is corrupted, this is flesh, that the soul cannot reside in it before it rots in the ground, until all of the desires have not rotted completely, meaning I've ceased to use them at all, that means to the ground. Why does it return at the revival of the dead, all of these desires? And also the question about the words of our sages, the dead are destined to be revived with their defects, meaning all of these desires, the egoistical desires, that we have restricted them and we didn't want to use them. We are reviving them ourselves and using them. And revived with their defects, they have to be revived from that constriction, so they will not be mistaken for another, and you will clearly understand it. From the thought of the creation itself, meaning from the first situation, we've said that the thought of creation was to delight his creatures. It necessitates that he must have created an overwhelmingly exaggerated desire to receive that great bounty in the thought of creation. As he wanted to give the light of plenty of the bounty of a great extent, accordingly he created the great soul to receive it, for desire to receive it, for the great delight and the great will to receive go hand in hand. They have to be suitable, fit to one another. And we've stated there that this exaggerated will to receive is all the renewed substance that he had created, for he needs nothing more in order to carry out the thought of creation. Only the will to receive, that's enough, if there is pleasure within it. And it is the nature of the perfect worker, that he does not perform anything needlessly. As it is written in the poem, all your work, not a thing was forgotten, and you did not subtract, and you did not add. We have also said there that this exaggerated will to receive that the Creator made through by the delight, the pleasure that He wanted to fill it with, has been removed completely from the holy system and was given to the system of the impure world, from which extend the bodies of this world and their livelihood, meaning the corrupted desires. This world means for the sake of reception. We're using this world, we're using the words of this world as if it belongs to us. You'll see. Until a man reaches 13 years of age. What is 13 years of age? Put a question mark here. That through the work in Torah and Mitzvot begins to attain a holy soul. 13 years, the Kabbalists are calling the moment when the person crosses the barrier. That's when he is called Bar Mitzvah, that he can use his desires for the sake of bestowal. It is in Taz and the word in the writing of Ari, and at Chaim, Tree of Life, all these things are explained. When we begin to work with the soul, that means that we're dropping seed afterwards the days of conception and 9 months of pregnancy. This is what we, how we grow with the soul. Until we come to such a degree that we begin to use the work with the desires for the sake of bestowal, that's called Bar Mitzvah. That before that, that from that moment on, he is growing off the whole system of the holy worlds according to the degree of soul that he has attained. We have also said above that during the 6,000 years, the person performs the corrections that are given to us for work in Torah and Mitzvah, meaning to correct our desires by way of the upper light. No correction comes to the body. This is the corrupted desires, meaning to its exaggerated will to receive. That is called the body. All the corrections that come through our work amount only to nefesh. Nefesh is called the desire to bestow, which by only to grow the screen and the reflected light, which by that climbs the degrees of holiness, which means only the enhancement of the will to bestow that extends with the soul. Meaning, throughout all of the degrees, what we're working with mainly is to build to make a restriction and build the screen. After we have made the restriction and have built the screen, thus only we begin to revive the body, to raise it from the dead. The 600,000 years, or says Shita Alfei Shnim, is 6,000 years. We've studied with you that man, all in all, goes through until he comes to the infinity, adhesion, completeness. He goes through stages of double concealment, single concealment. Here is the barrier, reward and punishment, and love. Our work with the light begins to and begins from this machsom and on. The degree of reward and punishment, we attain at restriction, masach, the screen, reflected light, faith. Let's say this is how it's called, bestowal. Thus, we correct inside our soul the Galta Veinaim, that the degree of Israel, which is in the soul, the kilim of bestowal. This is what he is talking about right now. And here there is no correction of the body at all, because we're making a restriction on all of the desires here. And because of that, the end of the body is to die and to be rot in the ground. So all of the desires that we're making restriction on them, and we're not using them, we are we're mortifying them. We're not letting them to be used by that means that we are burying them, and we don't want to use them in such a manner until all of the souls end and they're completely rotten, because he has not corrected in any way. But indeed it cannot remain that way, for if we should abolish this aggregated will to receive, because all in all we have attained bestowal on it, the faith of being above the desire. Seemingly I have the greatest desires like the Mount Sinai. It's called, I have attained above these desires a level of existence. I don't want to participate in any of these desires, because finally he should abolish the exaggerated will to receive. The thought of creation could, God forbid, not be carried out. I mean, all of these desires exist here, but I'm not using them. Meaning that all the great pleasures that he thought to bestow upon the creatures will not be received, for the great will to receive and the great pleasure go hand in hand. And to the extent that the will diminishes, so diminish the delight and pleasure from reception. Meaning, it's clear that these desires have to be preserved within, but I'm not using them. I'm only restricting them, and I'm building upon them the attribute of being. Let's say as follows: Malchut. Now has risen to Bina. It's all only attains the mercies of bestowal. It suppresses the will to receive of hers and only bestows. This is what the person performs on these degrees with the lights that come his way. However, afterwards, when he comes to the state where he has the force of rejection and the great screens and everything, he begins to attain a force which is even greater to receive for the sake of bestowal. Meaning that he begins to revive these desires from thick, from coarse to light, and he is using them in the situation of host and the guest. Let's say I've rejected all of the pleasures that the host presented before me, from the aperitif, let's say, to the meat, to the steak. All of the pleasures and delights, I've rejected all. I'm not using any of my desires. I only want to be in the connection with the Creator. If I can, I'm able to use them in such a manner that I'm able to be disconnected from them. What's to do? I'm rejecting them, I'm burying them, I don't want to know them at all. Because the host wants to bestow alone, and at least that I want to be, not to receive. And having completed that work, and on all of my 613 desires, on all the thickness of theirs, I've attained the will not to use them. That means that I've completed the development in reward and punishment. That means I've come to the soul. The soul is already the connection that I begin to evoke, to awaken inside me. First and foremost, small and weak in them, and receive the pleasures and all the pleasures that I receive in them. I destined to him, I sent to him. That's called the time already coming of age. This is 13 years and on. That's why it's called Bar Mitzvah, that he knows how to use the commandments, his desires for the sake of bestowal. And in it as well, there is difference from 13 years until 20 years. We have such degrees that you still cannot use all of your desires for the sake of bestowal. It's written that he's not where they are working on the earth. Karka, Eretz, is the Ratzon, the desire. Earth is a desire. Same word. He cannot use them until he reaches the 20 years of age. Here we have 13 years and here is 20. It's also Gagaltinaim within a hub. Yes. Reflected light that we mentioned is... is a bestowal. We're always talking about the desires. We don't have anything to work with. But in these desires, I reject reception or I begin to use them for the sake of bestowal. For the sake of bestowal, that means that I devote that, that I bring them to Him. Of course. Of course. Of course, I devote. At that time, attributing what I'm receiving towards Him. It's clear? Good. Well, I understand this thing is not clear, not understood. I remember how it was difficult for me. I couldn't proceed further. This item 25 is simply, it's impossible. It confuses so the 13 years, the bar mitzvah, the souls of corporeal desires, human desires, the revival of the dead, that we have all kind of stories that truly do not belong to Judaism, because everything is pictured in the body, and in the body there's nothing relating to spiritual, and but they materialize these things. So the person is, you have to read on and on and on many times, and would be happy to explain over and over again, only for you to understand. What is the luck? Mazal. Also in Shamani he mentioned the issue of the luck. You can see why didn't Kabbalists want to open the books of Kabbalah, that the person opens them and reads them. And he imagines that everything that's written there happens on his level. Mazalot are the drops of light that come from the Partsuf of Arichampin in the world of Atzilut, through the Partsuf of Abba V'Ima and Atzilut, afterwards in Zerampin and then in Malchut, it's called Shekhinah, Divine Presence, and the souls that rise through the worlds of Be'yah to Malchut of Atzilut, there they are capable of receiving a sustenance there. Fulfillment. Since that the abundance that coming from our humping to come to it is called our final correction. It's called it comes discreetly, meaning it ceases, it stops and goes. That's why it's called mazal. Mazalot, drops in Hebrew, and at the same time the luck. You can open the writings of Ari and Zohar. It's written everywhere. We call that mazalot, the luck. That truly in these lights, in the spiritual, from these lights, our development depends. That's why we're saying everything depends on mazal. Truly, everything depends on the light that drops from there. Their spiritual life, corporeal na, doesn't. So what did you ask? You said, We have this mazal that it can go this way and the other, like we think, and this was already a disconnect from this spiritual story on the one hand. On the other hand, we're saying that everything the man has is prescripted, is already predetermined from above. And truly, we can see that the more we reveal the DNA and our friend said, here we don't have any choice. We don't have any choice of changing it. We certainly will proceed from one degree to the next, the way you've descended from the infinity until this world. Now, from this world to the infinity, you will proceed precisely along these stages. It's written in the articles of the Kabbalists in the open way. They're not making any issue from it, because by that, a person does not determine anything, does not state anything. You used to be in the world of infinity, state in situation one, and you descended into situation here to this world, situation two, and you have to return back to the situation number three, and then accept your own forces, your own exertion. You don't change anything. Let's say you're in the degree zero, and there's the degree number one. You've descended from it. You have to ascend back to on it. That's it. But you have descended by the aggravation, burden of the heart. You've received corrupted desires. Now you have to correct them and rise up, rise back up. The difference in along that in this process is how you're correcting, or you're correcting them willfully, willingly, or first receiving pains, or you're being obligated by all kinds of beatings, or you're taking the book and you begin to proceed and you aspire, and thus you're walking before the beats, the blows that come your way. And that all the whole path is an adventure, and you're open to the creator, and you're not like a beast that's been driven from state to state along the second path. You nevertheless attain the knowledge and education and power, control over things, and so forth. This is the difference along the path of Torah, the path of pain. This is the only difference in your attitude, in your approach, or through the path of pain, or the path of Torah, or the path of torment. The individual governance, if you want to be under the individual governance, that you're in the dialogue with the Creator, that is called the individual governance. Revelation of the Creator to the creature, that is called the individual governance. In the meantime, you can see we are in the concealment. When we begin to study Kabbalah, let's say a person begins to study Kabbalah, and he enters these degrees that are called Lo Lishma, not for his sake. Here he is in the concealment. The governance is concealed. The Creator is concealed. And afterwards, when he crosses over the Berea, thus the governance begins to be revealed, the individual governance. You can say, this individual governance is simple. You, how through all of the worlds, through all the degrees that you have descended, to hear how the light of infinity influences you, you can say that is the individual governance as well. No, we are interpreting the individual governance as the dialogue between you and him.
What?
More? Yes. When a man crosses over, it's clear for him when this is a point, it's actually essential, it's evident. The man that crosses over the barrier, it's completely clear for him. You can read about this, or an introduction to the of Marchut, the Tree of Life, the Reif Chaim Mital, who wrote all of the writings of Ari. He was the one who wrote it. He was the student of Ari, and Ari didn't write it himself. So this is what he wrote. He has introduction to the Tree of Life. He explains that there, and also the Baal Salama in introduction to the Talmud Esoteric throughout the man crosses over the Berea, that is called that he, that his eyes are opened. It doesn't matter, a man or woman. In terms of soul, we're not talking about that. You wanted to ask something? What is the difference between the breaking in the worlds and the breaking in the souls? The breaking in the worlds is in you descend of the degrees of the worlds, and in the soul is the soul of Adam Rishon, which broke into 600,000 pieces. The breaking is not in our world. In the spreading, all of the worlds, from the world of infinity to this world, we have five worlds: Adam Kadmon, Absolute, Briya, Yetzirah, and Asiya. All of these worlds are in order to weaken the light, the light of infinity, so it would come, that the soul can ascend from each and every world. In each and every world, it will receive a certain light that is fitting, suitable for it, not more than and not less, but suitable for the fulfillment and correction, the degrees that organize the lights, that put in order the lights that will fit the soul that rises up there. That's, these degrees are called the worlds. In order to build this world according to the soul, because the soul comes in an egoistic way, corrupted way, the same corruption needs to be in the world. That's why there was the breaking in the worlds, and afterwards the breaking in the souls, and they, when the soul rises, the extent that it is broken, the world is broken accordingly, to the extent that it is corrupted, the world is corrected as well. So the world can help the soul to ascend. This is the system. The world is a system like our system, like a system of supply, chain. The more I want to receive from them, the more they supply. We picture the worlds as filters that filter the light of the infinity. They help us to accommodate, absorb the light that comes. What is the Sfirat HaOmer, count of Omer? We are counting Omer. Oh, I don't have time for that. I have five minutes left. The Sfirat HaOmer is when we're coming out of the Egypt. After that, we have Malchut that comes to Bina, in essence. From there, from Malchut to Bina, we have 49 stages, degrees, whereas we in them come to reception of Torah. It's the correction. The seven sefirot, Hesed, Gvura, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchut, seven sefirot of Zerampin, that receive correction. We don't have the Siddur, the prayer book. We can open up the prayer book of Sfirat HaOmer. Today was the 10th day. Today is the 10th day of the Sfirat HaOmer, counting Omer. Not Sfira, the breaking, but the Sfira, the counting of order. I'm making a blessing that I've corrected such and such Sifra. It's an ordinary prayer book. People read it but don't understand how that belongs to the Sefirot, but they're reading it. This is Gura, which is in Hesed, 7 Sefirot times 7 each and every one, 49 Sefirot. We are correcting them. Certainly, what we're doing, that we're pronouncing words in our mouth, does not relate to correction in the soul. In the soul, when Sefirot Omer, we go through the corrections, these are spiritual actions. Person reads like that, like a good kid, he hopes to have the reward in the next world. It's also good, but the one who is satisfied with that, the one who wants to be satisfied with something upper and more sublime, is truly, he goes and corrects the sefirot and the soul. But there is written that I've corrupted and I've spoiled and now I've put right. This is a very interesting text. It's all Kabbalistic, although it is printed in the ordinary prayer book. Thus, we seemingly in spiritual, we're correcting all of the sort of Zad, meaning Zad, lower, seven, Zayin Tachtanon. Thus, we correct them. Having corrected them, we come to the reception of the Torah. Thus, our Li is corrected. This last seven sefirot, it's called the Guf of Partsuf. All of the Partsuf is divided into Rosh and Guf. And Rosh, there's Gimel Shonot Gar, and in Guf, there's Zayin Tachtanon, Zad. Here, 7 times 7 is 49, that's an hour. Then, in the 50th day, this is Shavuot. And we're not counting Rosh, because Rosh doesn't need correction. I need Rosh to make a calculation how to correct the goof. Thus we come to the 50th day to the reception of the Torah, to Shavuot. That's why it's called Shavuot. Sheva Shavuot, 7 weeks. And in the minimum there's Lag BaOmer. Why do we have Lag BaOmer? 23rd of Omer, Lag Lamed Gimel. Inside this Sferot Hesed Gvurah Tifor Netzachot Yisod Malchut, we have Hesed Gvurah Tiferet, which are like first Sferot, first Gimel, the first three Gimel Shonot, Keter Chokmat Bina, but and Netzach is already Zerampin. So Netzach of Netzach, and more, we have Sefirot that still belong to the upper Sefirot, where the Malchut belongs. Where begins, and that's the Sefirah from which the Malchut begins, for sure, is the Lag. Lamed Gimel, 23rd Sefirah. If we have come to the 23rd Sefirah and have corrected everything until the 23rd Sefirah, everything rests from 24 to 49, we will correct for sure. That's why we are making a festival on it. And there are such people that from this moment on they can also cut their hair and buy the clothes, because they know for sure that from Lag BaOmer, from Lag BaOmer and on, we'll come to the reception of the Torah correctly. This is called the small state katnut. In these days we have, these are days of katnut. We have a habit of now of restricting certain our activities, you know, not to buy a new flat, not to open a new business. Why? Because the days of Katnut, we have not corrected the kilim. We are working still with the broken kilim. So it's not worthwhile with the broken kilim to go into the life. So wait till the kilim are corrected and then we continue to live. We'll talk about that in more detail. All these festivals are kind of understood from the spiritual, because in the corporeal we're just told that to do so, a few habits, traditions, but truly it's all based on the soul. Good. Let's hope that somehow the material will be absorbed. This is a very difficult point, seemingly not for the beginners that you are, and I'm sorry that I have imposed that upon you. But we will cover that. It may be so that it will be absorbed. Meantime, Shabbat Shalom. Come again.